Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So we're going to talk to you today about just a brief kind of talk about the mental side of the game. You know, we talk a lot about like the training, the diet, but just as important is the mental game when it comes to being an athlete and honing in your mental skills so that you can perform at your best and that you can be a successful athlete. But first, we want to kind of recap our last 7 days. So we saw each other just a couple days ago in Little Rock, yes. Arkansas. It was amazing. Do you want to tell them a little bit about our adventures and kind of where you're at and where you're headed?
Well, my adventure is we have been on a road trip traveling. We left Virginia and made our way to Arkansas for the team show, which was so much fun. We had like a really good group of girls, and the show was like a great size, so I felt like it was a really good experience, and we had great outcome with all of our athletes. And currently I'm in Louisiana. So we traveled from Arkansas through Mississippi and made it to Louisiana today. And we're on our quest to the Olympia from the team show in Little Rock. So yeah, that's where I am.
I love it. Yeah. They're in the van. I got to sit in the back seat. It's amazing. You guys are awesome. How are you doing with like prep life and all of that? Can you kind of just share with our audience
sure.
some of the things and tricks that you guys do to survive on the road and live the prep life?
Yeah. So we're still very serious about our goals, and we don't want to sacrifice anything that we, you know, we're working hard to accomplish while we're having fun and traveling. So a couple of things that are really great is we actually have a stand-up cooler and freezer where you can adjust the temperature for, you know, freezing your food or having it as a refrigerator, and it plugs right into your cigarette lighter in your car. And then if we stay at a hotel, we can actually like carry that upstairs. All our food is prepped in there, and it plugs into a wall outlet too, so we always have prepared food. We have like a big section that's all frozen, and then we just take stuff out as we want to eat. We also bring a microwave with us in the van, so my boyfriend TC is really great about bringing a generator and hooking up the microwave so we can have hot meals, especially when we get to a place where you know, if we're staying in the van, we can have a good meal and then get some good rest. And yeah, as far as workouts go, we always map out our travel destination and make sure that within like a couple hours, we have somewhere where we can stop, get a workout in, get our bodies moving, because I'm just super cranky sitting in the car for too long. And I always get like a good attitude boost when we get to the gym. So we usually work out, use that place to shower, and then get back on the road again. So it's quite an adventure, I should say that.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about the team show a little bit. We had 5 athletes in the show, and I believe I counted 18 medals. Does that sound right to you?
I think so. I kind of lost track.
Yeah. It was hard to keep up. Every category, I felt like we had somebody in it. But I just wanted to kind of point out that the two of us, I think I can speak for both of us when I say that we really just like to produce quality athletes over quantity and just do a really good job with, you know, giving so much, I call it like our concierge coaching service, where we just are with them every step of the way, backstage, you know, at check-in, team posing, photo shoot. We always try to do that in between pre-judging and the night show. And then we have like a team dinner coordinated on Saturday, but I just really like having, you know, to be able to give such detail and attention to our athletes so that they feel like queen for a day. And, a lot of people might argue that, you know, a 2-5 ratio is like, you know, not necessary, but for us, I feel like it's important that we really, you know, give them our detail and attention throughout that time because they've worked so hard. And so, yeah, you had one in the overall pose down for wellness, and then she also was in the overall pose down for bikini, Miss Lauren. And I also had a bikini athlete in the overall pose down as well. So it was pretty fun. I had a blast.
Yeah, it was great. And I definitely agree with, like, I like coordinating with you and the overall look of the athlete because, you know, we had people come back from hair and makeup that needed their hair adjusted because their curls were too tight and it just laid funny, or, you know, like just the way that you stuff the bikini tops to make sure that they're filled out really nicely and they're comfortable, like giving instructions on how to get your suit glued, how to tie in. Like there's so many like little minor details I think a lot of people don't think of. And I like going backstage, like right before the show and just like looking at everybody, making sure that they are like pristine, ready to go. And it's just a matter of them getting out there and doing what they work so hard to do. So.
Yeah. And every detail matters. And so it was really cool too, like that we could collaborate the night before with both of your athletes, on yeah. suit fitting. So, for those of you that don't know, I bring, the GGB suit rental suits that I think are going to look good on them. I give them several different options based on like cut color that would look the best on with their hair, you know, skin tone, their shape of their body. And it was so nice to be able to like also provide that concierge service where we could like fit them into a suit Friday the night before, because your body changes so much that, yes. you know, those measurements and the predicted weight and all of that, like it's so nice to be able to put somebody in a suit the night before so that you know that it fits perfectly. And yeah, we went through that with your two athletes and it was nice to be able to get your input too and like see how they felt in it, because you kind of get their reaction and then also evaluate like what looks the best. So that was super
yeah, it
fun.
Made a big difference seeing some of those suits on them. Like it was incredible. So yeah, I love we do that too.
Yeah. Okay. So are you ready to get started on our
mental
skills?
Yes, absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. So I really like the way that this kind of list is laid out and how they sort of have like a hierarchy of needs, so to speak, or like a pyramid in terms of like a tiered, you know, rungs of like kind of how you go through the relationships of the nine skills and how they, you know, how you can kind of go to higher levels based on the skills that you have acquired and honed in from the previous. So do you want to kind of like explain like what level one, level two, level three is, or how do you want to start?
Sure.
This?
Yeah, I can do that. So like, starting at level one are mental skills that give, sorry, I don't know if you could hear that in the audio. There was a fire truck that drove by. Okay.
No,
back to the podcast. Level one are mental skills that give a broad base of attaining long-term goals. So a lot of that is connected to your daily practice. So these mental skills are needed to do your day-by-day practices for long periods of time, months or even years, so that you can be consistent. Level two are skills that are used immediately before a performance. So what you do to prepare for getting up on stage, they're like your mentality right before a competition begins, right before you're about to hit that heel to the stage. And number three are skills that are used during the actual performance. So that's your mental skills as you're on stage, as you're executing your routine, as you're up there doing comparison round, and how you carry yourself and where your mental space is in that aspect.
Yes. Okay. So let's just give like a brief kind of synopsis into like the first level. So what are those just specific skill sets? And then we'll deep dive into what they each mean.
The,
like on the
basic
rung,
skills
on the level one.
Yeah. So level one are people skills, your goals and commitment, your motivation, and also your attitude.
Okay, so I'll start with attitude if you want.
Yeah.
Okay, so attitude. So successful attitude and successful athletes, they realize that attitude is completely a choice. And I think that's super important. You choose your attitude. You get to choose whether or not of how you're going to react to something. And successful athletes will choose that positive attitude all the time. And then they just view their sport as an opportunity to compete against themselves, which is very prevalent in our sport, you know, me versus me, and learn from those successes and also their failures, both. And typically, these successful athletes will pursue excellence, but not perfection, and realize, you know, as well as their coaches, teammates, judges, that they and others are not perfect. There's always something someone has to work on, and there's always a better version out there of ourselves. Even if we obtain that pro card or we obtain that pro win, there's always something more to perfect. And just kind of maintaining that balance and that perspective between the sport and then also like the rest of their lives and the people that it impacts. And lastly, just, you know, respect for the judges, respect for their coaches, and ultimately themselves and other competitors.
Yeah, this is great. I love that it starts with attitude because I do believe that's a foundation for so much. Moving on, we have motivation as number two. So successful athletes are aware of rewards and benefits that they expect to experience through their sports participation. So, you know what you are stepping on stage for, what the expectations could be. But you're also able to persist through difficult tasks and difficult times, even when rewards and benefits are not immediately forthcoming. So, having your goal to have your pro card, is your motivation, but you're also able to continue to progress and keep going, even when it's not immediate. And another part of the motivation is realizing that many of the benefits come from your participation, not necessarily your outcome. So that kind of like mirrors the you versus you that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and just embracing the process and the journey too, I think are super important, and that this is a prep life. It's a lifestyle, right? So it's not necessarily about just show day, but it's about those habits that you create every day and those difficult workouts and the difficult days of staying on your diet that you're persisting with. The third one is goals and commitment. And successful athletes, they set long-term and short-term goals that are realistic, measurable, time-oriented. And we've talked about this several times on different podcasts when we talk about SMART goals. And they're specific, you know, measurable, attainable, achievable, time-sensitive. So in the competition world, we always have a time-sensitive goal, it seems. But kind of chunking that long-term goal down. So let's say, you know, for example, my long-term goal is to step on a national stage next year in 2022, but I need a set of short-term goals to get me there, and you know, a good improvement season and things like that. So, however, my long-term goal does have a time-sensitive stamp. I also need to kind of chunk that goal down so that I can be aware that I'm still, you know, being realistic about my time frame, and I'm kind of hitting these checkpoints. And then just being aware of like your current performance levels. So like assessing where you're at. I mean, whether it be judges' feedback, your coach's input, just kind of knowing where you stand and then moving forward and developing like the specific detailed plans for achieving that long-term goal. And those successful athletes, they're just highly committed to this goal. And I believe it was said over the weekend, you know, the one percenters, they're the people that choose to work out on holidays. You know, they sit at a family dinner and, you know, bring in their bag of nasty fish or whatever it is. But they're able to, you know, be highly committed to carrying out those daily demands, you know, and saying no to those items that might be giving them like a short-term high, like a sugar item or something like that, but they're turning it down because they have that vision in sight.
Yes, absolutely. And I always feel like goals are such an important part of anything we do. I think it gets tricky when we have, like you said, long-term goals and stuff that's not immediate. I know like concentrating on process goals has helped me as well, just kind of focusing on like being able to accomplish things each day rather than looking at like all the weeks and days leading up to like the big event. So yeah.
Yeah,
and then
24 hours, just kind of focusing
exactly
on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, yeah, I always know that you talk about being present in the moment. And I think that that's a really good perspective and like a good way to look at your goal setting as well, too. Like, what can I do now versus like overthinking about ahead in the future? So number four is people skills. So realizing that as an athlete, you're a part of a larger system. So like you don't live alone on an island. You're not the only athlete, but there's other aspects and facets of your life, like your family, your friends, teammates and coaches. So there's other people involved in your sport and also your support system and other aspects of your life as well too. I think it's important for committed athletes to communicate their, you know, expectations, their thoughts, their feelings, their goals to the people that are close and important to them, to have like good communication as you are continuing, you know, because this is a lifestyle and it, you know, carries into other aspects because we have time commitments in the gym. We have, you know, certain nutritional goals that we need to hit, and just having other people and other parties understand what you are after, I think is really important. So communication, you know, whether people receive it well or not, you're doing your part as an athlete by expressing that. And then having effective skills for dealing with conflict, difficult, you know, situations at shows or losses, you know, or negativity, I think is definitely a skill that is developed for athletes, you know, because not everything is a highlight reel. Sometimes things can work against us, but knowing or developing skills to be able to combat that and continue forward, I think is very important.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing with this is just like, if you receive like negative feedback from the judge, just, you know, knowing how to deal with that and move forward and not take it as a negative on you, but use it to your advantage kind of thing. And then that kind of segues into number five, which is your self-talk. So you need to make sure that, you know, you're talking to yourself kindly and that you're maintaining really great self-confidence so that when you come up to these kind of situations, you have the strength within you to be able to handle that and not take it personally. Mm-hmm. And that positive self-talk, you know, it comes from being realistic, but also just using kind words. Like, you should always talk to yourself like you're talking to your best friend. And I catch competitors sometimes saying like, I was bad and things like that. Mm-hmm. And like, those aren't good word choices. You know, just because you ate something off your diet doesn't make you a bad person. It's something that you need to be kind to yourself. And when we have these self-deprecating thoughts and we run them through our head and over again, your body starts to just, you know, accept that. So using that to just kind of regulate, making sure that you're regulating your thoughts so that your feelings and behaviors during the competition are positive. And I mean, one thing that I always do, I get nervous and I just change it. Instead of saying, I'm nervous, I'm so nervous, I'm so nervous, I say, I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited. And just kind of changing the verbiage, even though excitement and nerves can kind of feel like the same thing, you can kind of talk yourself out of it if you try. So.
Yeah, I love that. And I think this was a really important part. And I think you said that beautifully. Like, negative self-talk does not help you progress forward. If anything, it holds you back and hurts you. So, working on how you treat yourself, I think, is very important. And I think we can be very critical because we're looking at those fine, minute changes within our physique, or we see how far we have to go. But I really encourage my athletes, like, be in, proud of each stage of the journey, because it's, in bodybuilding, there will always be something that you want to change or that could be improved. The top of the top, that, they still get judge feedback with stuff that they need to improve upon. So start that positive self-talk now, so that when you get to that level, like, you've already established how to, appreciate your body in all stages. Okay, so next one is mental imagery. So, preparing yourself for competition by imagining you performing well on stage. Create mental images that are very detailed, specific, and realistic as well. Using imagery during a comp, helping prepare for a competition, can, one, like, set you up, make you feel comfortable. So one thing I notice is, if I'm imagining myself going through my routine and, I'm nervous before a show, when I have done it in my head over and over and over again, that's me practicing and that's me stepping out on stage already. So that by the time I get up there, I've already done this a million times. So that has really helped as well. And I'll even put that on people's programs as well. Like, spend time, going through your routine in your head, imagining, like, looking out at the judging panel, smiling at Sandy, like, seeing the audience, really make it, as vivid as possible, so that when you get up on stage, it's not such a big transition from you practicing in an aerobics room or in your bathroom in front of a mirror.
Yeah, and I think it's important. One thing that kind of reminds me of this is when you won your pro card, we went to visit your trophy before the night before, and we said hello to it. We were like, "See you tomorrow." And you went on the stage, and you were super tired at that point. You were exhausted and worn out, and so there wasn't like a ton of practicing that you did, but I think like just sitting in your bed and like mentally visualizing yourself holding that mermaid and all of that, I think it really can help.
Absolutely, I would agree.
All right, number seven, dealing effectively with anxiety. So, this is definitely, I think, super prevalent in our sport in terms of just. I think a lot of competitors are very type A, so they can tend to, lean on the more anxiety side of things. And we just need to accept that it is part of sport in anyone. And, having a little bit of nerves and things like that shows that you care. So just realize that, some degree of this will help you. And just kind of knowing, how to reduce anxiety when it becomes too strong so that without losing your intensity. So I think there's a lot of tools that you can utilize to reduce anxiety. Some people are like big on meditation and things like that, but for me, like laying in a bath, like a hot bath or foam rolling, kind of like stretching, doing yoga, kind of just laying there and trying to recenter my thoughts, it can reduce my anxiety. Do you have any tips on reducing anxiety for you? I know you like quiet, but.
I do. Yeah, for somebody like, I get very overstimulated. So, like, headphones that can block out a lot of noise really help me. But when I'm in a situation where I can't be, in a quiet place to recharge, actually self-talk helps me a lot, because just like I would want a friend to tell me, like, you're okay, everything's fine, like, you look great, you're gonna do amazing, like, I actually do that for myself. Like, the words that I want to hear, I actually make myself sit, like, say it to myself, because for some reason, like, hearing it actually calms my nerves. So, either repeating it in my mind, like just some a simple mantra of you're okay actually helps bring me back down. So that's something you can use in a situation where you can't, get some quiet or isolation.
Yeah, I get really bad anxiety when I start looking at competitors backstage, and I get a feeling of like claustrophobia. So what I'll do is I'll find a corner that I can lay down and face the wall so that I'm not looking at anybody, because I really
Smart.
psych myself out by like analyzing other people's physiques and things like that. And even with the tanning, like I try to just, like go back there and just like not look at someone else and like compare, like, oh, she's so muscular, or like at check-ins or in the meetings, I try not to look at people just from like the neck up, as I try to do. But when I'm backstage and I'm so crowded around so many people, it's hard for me to not look unless I'm laying down facing a wall. So it may sound like antisocial or something like that, but I'm just kind of like doing it to reduce my anxiety.
I think that's great. And I think every athlete needs to do what they need to focus on stage, and everybody requires something different. And I actually like that you shared that, because I know a lot of people do that, looking around, and they start getting nervous. They can be super confident the night before, and then they start seeing people and it really just kind of derails them very quickly. So I actually really like that suggestion.
All right, you're up with number eight.
Oh, okay, yes. Dealing effectively with emotions is another part of, training your mentality as an athlete. So, we are people, so we're accepting that we have strong emotions, excitement, disappointment, all of those things are part of the experience. It would be a pretty boring sport if we just were very neutral the whole entire time. So I think that that's a normal aspect of it. But really making sure that, when you're experiencing your emotions, or you're allowing yourself to feel them, that you're using them to help you improve, rather than interfere with your performance.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, some of that, like, you can take disappointment and just use it as motivation to do better the next time. Yeah, so I think that's good. And then last but not least, concentration. So this is that top of the pyramid. Those successful athletes, they have extreme concentration. And what I found is the more that I do the sport and I'm around it as an athlete, a coach, I've been a promoter, I've been a judge. Like, I start to pay attention to specific details and start applying things. When I look at how like my suits were, my fine details of like my makeup, my hair, it's just crazy how much like you learn the finite details and you're able to concentrate on what things you need to focus on. Even in my training, like, I learn how to stop, like talking to my workout partner or whatever, like when I'm trying to really feel that mind muscle connection, and I'm just really focused on executing perfectly, like that training, that lift or whatever it is. But you start to pay attention to, what it is that you need to accomplish, and kind of eliminating like distractions and making sure that your intensity is there and that you're in an environment to thrive. And I don't know. It's just like that here and now type of thing, you're not thinking about how you did in the past, like how you maybe like messed up your posing routine. If you're on stage, you're executing, and you're not like, the definition of anxiety is fear of the past and then fear of the future. So if you can stay in that present moment and really focus and concentrate when you're actually performing the task, you'll have a lot of success and just really enjoying that moment.
Yeah, and if you think about it, you work so hard for so long, and that time on stage is so limited. So making sure that you're making the most of that time, and also enjoying it. So like being present, being in the moment, and I think especially that comes across on stage is, we talk about presence for a bikini competitor, being there and enjoying, your hard work and not overanalyzing all the little aspects, but just being concentrated on knowing what you can do well and what you've practiced and what you've come here for. I think that translates and it's seen in the performance as well.
Yeah, so just to recap, we've got number one, choose and maintain a positive attitude. Two, maintain a high level of self-motivation. Three, set high realistic goals. Four, deal effectively with people. Five, use positive self-talk. Six, use positive mental imagery. Seven, manage anxiety effectively. Eight, manage your emotions effectively. And number nine, maintain concentration. So hopefully these skills will really help you along the journey on the way to those big high goals, but then also will help you on actual show day, with your mental game. So, do you have anything to add before we sign off?
If you just want to make mention of the Olympia, I think that's it.
Yeah, we've got the Olympia coming up the October the 7th through the 10th, and it is at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida. So it is right around the corner. I think next week we'll probably do like a our predictions for the Olympia.
Yeah, that'd be
Yeah.
great.
Yeah, I would love that. So we will leave a link to purchase tickets in the show notes, and we hope to see you there. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And before I forget, sorry, we're not signing off. Just kidding. You can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast and at Glam Girl Bikini, and you can apply for the team at glamgirlbikini.com. Now I'm signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.